I don't know. So now, oh, I'm good now? Can you hear me back there now? Okay, if you can't hear me, go like this. Okay? Anyway, I'm Marty Hansen, and I want to share with you a trip I went on, a mission trip. And on the screen is our team. But what I would like to share with you is a mission trip, but I'm going to put 2 weeks into 23, maybe 20 minutes. So I have to stay on course, Pastor said. So I did write it down so that I don't just go off on something that's in my mind about that trip. So I just want to tell you a little bit about me. I gave you my name. Our children attended this church. Two of them were married in this church. And two of my grandchildren were baptized in this church. And I've been a member of this church since 1977. So it is my, you are my family, and I'm anxious to share this experience with all of you. In July, I had the opportunity to go on a mission trip to Honduras with Health Teams International. Health Teams International, motto is built on Paul's talk in Romans 15, verses 19 and 20. I go only to those who have never heard the name of Christ, that I not build on another man's foundation. To achieve this goal, they concentrate on unreached people, usually found in third world countries. Although they strive to meet the needs of individuals in other areas as well, the organization has no dues, no membership fees. Everyone is a volunteer who has to raise their own funds for mission trips through church, family, friends, and other sponsors. Health Teams International is comprised of healthcare workers and other interested individuals who have a heart for people around the world who are less fortunate than we are. We have the president, CEO, Dr. Richard Charlick of Health Teams International, the young man, only young man in that picture with a tie, living and worshiping right here in our area. Dr. Charlick is a dentist with a large family practice in Brighton. He worships right here in our area at West Highland Baptist Church. He's worshiped in that church since he was a child, a young boy. He married a member of our church many, many years ago, and he's currently 82 years old. So if you're paying attention to your sermon notes, okay. Many years ago, he married a member of Heartland United Methodist Church, and someone might even know who that member is. And if you're interested in knowing more about Dr. Charlick and Health Teams International, he's written a book. And this book is titled Mission Possible. And it can be purchased on Amazon. I'm not trying to sell his book. But if you'd like a copy, Dr. Charlick has given me a box of them free of charge, and they're back on the table if you want to know about more about Dr. Charlick. Okay? So many of you have come up to me in the last month, because I went in July, and you've asked me, how did you come to join this team on a mission trip? Well, the preamble to this is that I have always wanted to go on a mission trip where people were in dire need of health care and God. So this past February, one of my clients came in for her tax appointment, and she had just come back from a mission trip from Myanmar, a very poor country in Asia. She was on fire about her trip. Her excitement about her trip was contagious, and the possibility would not leave me, especially when she told me about the trip in July. I thought about Health Teams International's trip in July and asked God over and over to lead the way. After about a month of thinking and praying about it, one night, since God would not let this thought leave me, I decided to call Dr. Charlick and ask if he would consider me as part of his team to Honduras. That night, I asked Don to listen to what I had to say and just support me. First thing out of his mouth was, I'm not going. I told him I was not asking him to go, but would he support me? Jen and Jamie, two granddaughters who you've met today, probably met several times, asked me if they could go with me. So I made the phone call to Jeff and asked for his support since his girls wanted to go. I want you to know that we did get the total support from both Don and Jeff. Don just had one request. He asked that I do not bring home any dogs or kids because I like both. Mary Jo's sad that I didn't bring her a child home. But next, I had to call and see if Dr. Charlick would even have us. He asked me a few questions, and they were very simple. Are the three of us Christians? And did we have a burning desire to help poor people in a third world country? He told me his team would not be able to swear, drink on this trip, and our dress would be scrubs at all times, and we would have a really tight schedule. He told me the team would consist of two dentists, a dental student, an optical team, two medical doctors, a couple nurses, a pharmacist, two pastors, a PA, and our Honduras translators. The members of our team lived in six different states: Michigan, Tennessee, Illinois, Florida, Kentucky, and California. At that moment, I was committed. I was going, and I know God led me to this, and he would lead me through it. So there were, they are the 19 people, not including our translators on the overhead, that headed to Honduras together. So July 9th arrives. We meet at Dr. Charlotte's house at 3:45 a.m. for an early morning international flight out of Metro Airport. Don drove us to the airport. The only three flying Delta was Jamie, Jen, and I. There were seven of us leaving from Michigan that morning. When we got to Dr. Sharrock's house, he loaded each of us up with a huge medical trunk. I mean, the size of, not Jamie, but Jen and I. Okay. And then the day before, he asked me to come over to his house to pick up three sets of dental instruments. Each one of us were to put them in our personal suitcases. We had time of prayer, and off we went. And we would not see these other team members until we landed in Honduras. On the way to the airport, Don was concerned as to how three women were going to get three suitcases, three carry-ons, and three huge trunks to the check-in counter. To make matters worse, Dr. Charlotte called my cell phone to ask if we each had our dental instruments that were given to us, and to keep her eyes on our bags, as each of us had $10,000 in dental instruments. That must have really hit home, because Jenna talked in her sleep all that night about them. But I just started praying to God, really realizing I had the responsibility of two granddaughters in a third world country, and how was I going to manage all this luggage? Somehow I stayed calm. We pulled up at the departures. No outside check-in was open. Don could not park there, and so all he kept saying is, "I'm worried about you handling all this luggage. I'm worried about you handling all this luggage." So I started looking around for anyone or anything to help us as Don was unloading all this luggage onto the curb. I looked in the window, looked around, and inside the airport, along the window edge, was a man sitting with a hotel cart. Now I began to wonder what a real hotel cart was doing there. And next to it was one of those luggage carts that you can get at arrivals down a level for a cost. Not another cart in sight anywhere. I thought for a moment, walked inside the airport, and asked the man sitting there, "Are these yours?" He smiled at me and said, "No, not mine." So I just took them out the door, and no one stopped me. We loaded them up. Don said goodbye, and we managed to get inside into the check-in counter. We had so much luggage. You could not even see us behind the cart. Jamie, who's the strongest of the three of us, could hardly push the cart or direct it. Truly our first God moment. Next, once on board, I wondered, how are we going to pick up all this luggage and take it through customs? And would we get all these medical supplies and medicines through? Never having done this before, had no idea what to expect. When we landed in Honduras, our first surprise was we had to deplane on the runway and walk forever. No one understood English, and Jenna was delayed right off the bat in customs before we even got to our luggage. Next to my astonishment, after we got through customs and were going after our luggage, not knowing how we'd handle it or what we were going to do with it, a young man walked up to us and asked if we were part of Dr. Charlotte's team. He said Dr. Charlotte told him that a woman was traveling with two grandchildren. Of course, Dr. Charlotte knew all of our travel times and what airline carrier we each were on. The gentleman that walked up to us was our pastor from Kentucky and his wife, who would be with us for the next 14 days. He took all our luggage and had it loaded and taken to the hotel. Another God moment. We never did have to deal with carrying that luggage. They took us to a bus where most of our team was loading as they each arrived from other places in the United States. The overhaul journey landed us in Tegucigalpa. Took me a long time to learn that one. Honduras on July 9th, and we spent 2 weeks traveling to different villages throughout the mountains. We traveled by bus, there's our bus, through the trails in the mountains, which was what they called roads. We had armed security police with us at all times. They were on motorcycles in front and in back of our bus with sirens running and lights flashing. Honduras is a Central American country with the Caribbean Sea to the north and the Pacific Ocean to the south. It is below Guatemala and borders El Salvador. It's rated as having one of the highest murder rates in the world. Honduras is one of the poorest countries in the world. More than 62.8% of Hondurans live in poverty. They call their rural areas the last mile. Here, six of ten households have income of less than $2.50 a day. And that's according to the World Bank. The people we served generally had one-room abodes for homes. Few children have shoes, and most do not have running water. They bathe outside. They have no indoor toilets and cook on an open wood fire in their home. Imagine that. Our daily schedule was like this. Dr. Charlotte knocked on our door every morning at 5 a.m. We were to be at devotions by 5:30. Dr. Charlotte prayed, and we had silent prayer, and anyone that wanted to pray could do so. Each day, one of our team members gave their testimony. Every day, more of our team had prayers to share because of their previous day experiences. We picked up our clean scrubs at night. They were supplied by Health Teams International, brought in trunks, just like the trunks we carried, by other team members and checked in at airports, and then they were washed daily by our host family. In the morning at devotions, we turned in our dirty scrubs and were told our plans for the entire day. After devotions, we had breakfast. It was not so tasty, but safe. We had to be on the bus by 7 a.m. to head to the mountains. We traveled up to 3 hours every day to villages where we would set up our clinics, never knowing what type of building we would be in to set up these clinics, usually a school or a church, no windows, outside toilets, dirty, hot, and horrible flies, just to mention a few of our challenges. Our translator was assigned to each one of us. We spoke, and they spoke in English for us. Linda, here, these are a picture of our translators, some of them. Linda was my sidekick, and she followed me everywhere. Guess to keep me out of trouble because I was constantly roaming off. The language barrier was my biggest challenge. I could not even get a dog or a cat to come to me. I would call them and they just looked at me and no response. Linda would call them and they came. Guess they too were Spanish speaking. When you arrived at a village each day, people were lined up all over waiting for us. We had no idea where we would set up our clinic or what type of furniture we would have. Dr. Charlick always made the decision where each clinic would be after he surveyed the area. These people walked miles for help, so hungry, in pain, and yet so happy to see us. Women and young girls with so many babies, mouths full of rotten teeth, wounds, need of antibiotics, untreated cancer, infections, you name it, and we saw it. Our job was to help them in any way that we could and to talk to them about the God who loves them. We had over 4,000 patients during those days of service. Our dentist pulled 989 teeth in the dental clinics, did health checks on newborns that were born in one-room, dirt floor abodes. We had 13,000 pair of prescription glasses and the equipment to do a real eye exam. Treated pink eye, dry eye infections, did private breast exams, and treated sexually abused children, and provided vitamins for all children. We brought about 400 people to Christ, just one at a time. I would guess that 50% of the poor people in these villages are or were Christians. Many fall away due to their circumstances. Our job was to remind them how much Jesus loves them and that we want them to be with us in heaven and they can go there. It was simple. Just turn your life over to Christ. I talked with one young woman while her two girls were with the dentist. I asked her if she was a Christian and she said yes, but she did not go to church anymore. She said she sent her two daughters, and they were Christians. I asked her why she didn't go with them, and she told me When she went, her husband would get annoyed, and he would beat her. I told her she did not have to go to church to be a Christian, and that God does love her. So what was my job there? My job, I assisted the two dentists, Dr. Sharlick, who was 82, and Dr. Black, who was 80 or 81, I'm not sure. I sterilized their equipment every 20 minutes and set up a table like this. I loaded their syringes with Novocaine, put the required needles in it, set up their trays with gloves, a cup, and a mirror. I was with them when they examined the patient and decided what they were going to do and how many teeth they would be pulling. From that, I learned how many Novocaine refills for the syringes they would need and the size of the needle. When they were finished, they gave me the tray and I cleaned it up, disposed of the needles, and sterilized the instruments. Once we gave a patient a Novocaine shot or shots, we had to wait 20 minutes for the numbness before we could pull their teeth, sometimes pulling up to 8 and 9 at a time. The people sat in plastic lawn chairs while we pulled their teeth. Often, we had to put two chairs together on top of each other because they were so broken and cracked. When a patient fainted, we laid them across metal folding chairs. While waiting for the Novocaine to take hold, the doctors talked to them about Jesus. They never missed one patient. We had that small booklet that you've seen me with the children this morning, and that's what we used to talk to them. We used the same booklet for testing the eyesight by having the patient read us the different size fonts. Along with the booklets, we had 2,500 Spanish Bibles of the New Testament that were brought in the trunks that team members checked in at the airports. The dentist talked to every single person using this small booklet, and it went something like this. Do you know why we came all the way here from America? It costs us a lot of money to come here. Many of us are taking time off work, leaving our families behind. We got all kinds of answers from the people like, you are nice, that's why you come here. You want to help us because we're poor? Because you feel sorry for us? Maybe because you're an American. Well, we'd tell them that's all true. But we came here because we are Christians, and Christians love all people. We are all children of the same God, the one and only God. Are you a Christian? Did you know that Jesus was born in a manger? Do you know that he was born on Christmas Day? He walked this earth for 33 years, helping many people. He healed wounds. He brought sight to the blind. He fed many people. He did many great things. He died for our sins on a cross, your sins and my sins too. 3 days later, he rose from the dead and rose to heaven. Would you like to be a Christian and go to heaven someday? All you have to do is ask your sins to be forgiven and repent of those sins and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Is that something that you would like to do today? You don't have to, because everything here is free, and we will help you regardless. If they were ready, we prayed with them, and they accepted Jesus. Next, we would get one of the pastors to talk with them. He would sign the Bible and give it to them. We tried very hard to acquaint them with a pastor of their village or the visiting pastor of the village. It was so awesome to see someone become a Christian. I asked God to just give me one opportunity to bring someone to Christ. The fourth day, I was busy working in my dental clinic, and I looked up, and a young man was being helped in, practically carried in, and was sat in a chair. For some reason, I was drawn to that young man. A nurse, Jen and myself, walked over to help him. He had 106 fever. His leg above the knee and all the way to the groin was hard and red. He had a very large hole in his leg. I gave him something to drink and eat. The nurse got him an antibiotic from our pharmacy, and we proceeded to clean up this wound. This young man could not bear the pain. I was trying to think of what can we do to numb this pain. What can we do? So I walked over to Dr. Sharlick, who was busy pulling teeth, interrupted him and asked, what can I do to numb this young man's leg? He looked up to see what I was talking about and told me to use a small needle and load a syringe with Novocaine and inject it all around the wound, and wait 20 minutes for it to numb. And I knew what that he meant when he said, and wait 20 minutes. On my way back over to him, Alex, who is this young man's name, I noticed a biblical verse on the back of his hooded sweatshirt. Let no one have contempt for your youth, but set an example for those who believe. So I did what Dr. Charlick told me, and I waited 20 minutes, and I started talking to this young man, but he was not really in good enough shape to try to witness to him. But I asked him if I could pray for him, and he said yes. So I did. Once the leg was numb, we started cleaning it out. Oh my gosh, it was horrible. I thought for sure without any treatment, he would lose that leg. He was leaving with a bandaged leg and antibiotics, and I asked him to come see us tomorrow because we would be at that same village. He came back the next day and came in on one crutch. I don't know how he even walked there. This time again, I seen him come in, walked over to him, brought him up to the altar area, and laid him down. He had an allergic reaction to the antibiotic that we had given him the day before. So we changed that up. Jenna sat down next to him, and I got the Novocaine, and we numbed him up again. He had not eaten or drank anything, so I got him water, and we gave him our lunch bars. He had the same sweatshirt on. This time, I really cleaned out his wound, and the nurse helped me wrap it. I talked to him about Jesus, and I prayed for him in that wound. I told him what village we would be in the next day, and he came. Again, I helped treat his leg, and it looked so much better, but he had the same sweatshirt on. I asked him, did he know what this sweatshirt said? He did not, because all their clothes are provided to them just in boxes. So I read it to him, of course, through my translator. I asked him if he was a Christian, and he said he used to be. He used to go to church. He had 2 daughters, 2 and 3 years old, and a wife. I talked to him about why he needed to be a godly man and care for his 2 daughters so they would grow up knowing Jesus. I even asked him if his little girls had toothbrushes, and he said they did not, so I gave him 4, 1 for each of them. I asked him to promise me that he would have his daughters brush their teeth twice a day. I told him that he needed to keep them safe and always remember the first time he held them in his arms and to keep them safe from the dangers in this country. He said he would not have a way to see me the next day. We gave him lots of bandages, gloves, and medication to treat his leg, and Alex became a Christian that day. The pastor and I prayed over him, and he left. I think about him often and pray for him. What a feeling to lead someone to Christ. We saw over 4,000 needy people, and there was only 19 of us. I could only think of the Gospel of Mark, the feeding of the 5,000. We, like Jesus, fed the hungry with spiritual food and medical needs. Our trust in God did not end in Honduras. Departing, a very large bird flew into the left engine of the plane. We had to emergency land in the last city in Honduras before we would be out over the ocean. There were over 70 missionaries on this plane, 4 different organizations returning to America. We all talked and remained calm, but not sure how we accomplished that either. We knew we were going home, but we're not sure which home. The plane landed and we were safe. Again, another God moment. It took hours to get another plane from America to us, so it delayed our travel home by a day. The pilot shared with us that he was amazed at the calmness he felt in our presence while landing that plane with only 1 engine. I would encourage any of you that have never, ever thought you would like to take a mission trip to consider going with Health Teams International. I plan to go on next July, and I'd love to have any one of you join me. I, like my client, am on fire about this experience. I love doing the work of God to God's less fortunate people. Please consider an experience like doing God's work. We experienced, I wonder, what we call God moments, or are they miracles? I sometimes think I fail to realize God's presence and the miracles in my life. I would like to thank all of you, my church, my friends, and my family for your prayers and support through my journey. Thank you. Let's get